It used to be that when you see a doctor, a GP, general practitioner, he can only order a PCR test if you are suspected to be infected with COVID-19. And if you are PCR positive, you are either sent to a medical facility such as a hospital or a COVID treatment facility, or you are placed under home recovery program for 10 days. We are changing it to 7 days. Yeah. And this is essentially called Protocol 1. Essentially, GPs, primary care providers, they can only order Protocol 1. On 6 January this year, we changed this arrangement. We empowered our GPs and other medical providers to also be able to order Protocol 2 if they encounter a patient who might be of low risk and experiencing very mild symptoms or, in fact, no symptoms. So for simplicity, let's call this GP Protocol 2 cases. GP Protocol 2 cases. Last time, GP can only do Protocol 1. So now there are GP Protocol 2 cases. This change makes a lot of sense. Because whether an individual undergoes Protocol 1 with a 10-day and now 7-day home recovery, or Protocol 2 with a 72-hour self-isolation, it should depend on the risk profile and the severity of the symptoms of the patient, not because whether he decides to go to a GP or he do a self-test. Yeah. Hence, under the new arrangement, GPs, medical providers, they will look at the patient, do a medical assessment, refer to MOH guidelines, and decide whether I prescribe him Protocol 1 or Protocol 2. And consistent with the ART self-test under Protocol 2, we had not been reporting the GP Protocol 2 cases in our daily updates. The numbers were not large, about 100 to 200 cases a day when we first started the arrangement on 6 January this year. However, as it becomes increasingly evident that Omicron is a less severe disease than Delta, GPs also started to see more and more mild Omicron cases, and they prescribed more and more Protocol 2 to these patients. Hence, GP Protocol 2 cases rose quickly to about 400-500 cases a day last week, and this week, over 1,000 cases a day. MOH has reviewed the situation and decided that it is better to include the GP Protocol 2 cases in our daily updates on infection numbers. It will give a better picture of the epidemic situation in Singapore and which part of the curve we are on. So in other words, the numbers that you've been reporting, it will be higher. But let me caveat that this is still not the full picture, and neither is it possible to get a full picture. This is because many cases with no symptoms and very mild symptoms remain undetected. And others may choose to self-test and self-administer Protocol 2, which is also not possible to be captured. This was the case during the Delta wave and is now more apparent with the Omicron wave because it's generally a milder disease. So we will therefore be releasing two numbers every day, one for infections confirmed by PCR tests, which is the number reported currently, and then another for the GP Protocol 2 cases. We will backdate the numbers to 6 January 2002, when GP started to order Protocol 2, for the purposes of calculating total number of infections in Singapore, as well as the week-on-week increase in infection numbers. So to satisfy your curiosity, the week-on-week increase in cases will remain largely unchanged compared to now, at about 2.5. As Omicron has clearly dominated the current infection wave, MOH will also stop differentiating between Omicron and non-Omicron infections in our daily updates. This is a change in case definition and how statistics are compiled. In reality, the way we lead our life, the way we respond to the disease, nothing has changed. Only the statistics and the numbers have changed. So it does not change the actual epidemic situation we are experiencing. Over the past weeks, we have been living with COVID-19 and Omicron variant quite carefully and calmly, with a less restricted posture where we can meet in groups of five. So this attitude should not change because of an adjustment in case definition and reporting methods. The fact is that with vaccinations working well and the Omicron variant being less severe, the top line infection number is becoming less and less meaningful in our response to COVID-19. It comprises, this top line infection number comprises mostly people who are vaccinated, who are experiencing mild symptoms or no symptoms, which from a public health point of view is not something we should be overly concerned about. We watch it, but should not be overly concerned about. And this is an issue I discussed with WHO Director General Tedros last week when we were on Zoom call, and it was well acknowledged by him and his experts that in time, when we start to live normally with the disease, the world needs to move away from focusing on the top line infection numbers. The more important statistics are in the bottom line. How many people are severely ill, needing oxygen supplementation? How many is in ICU care? How many died? To report to you the latest data, to date, of the 12,078 individuals confirmed infected with Omicron, and there are many others who we cannot ascertain, out of 12,078, 34, or less than 0.3% of them, required oxygen supplementation. Most needed oxygen for one day, with the longest duration of 4 days for one patient. So compare Delta and Omicron. Delta, the numbers were 0.8% needing oxygen, 0.2% ICU, 0.2% die, altogether 1.3%. Omicron, so far, what we are seeing is less than 0.3% needing oxygen. Yeah, that's all. I should point out, there is one senior in his 80s. He was admitted to, who infected with Omicron. He was admitted to ICU as he required high-flow oxygen. He was not intubated, and then he was given the oxygen and discharged from ICU the next day. So in the 20 days since the start of this year, today is the 21st of January, so the last 20 days, we have 9 days without any COVID-19-related deaths, 7 days with one death, and the rest of the days, 3 or fewer deaths. In terms of healthcare capacity, we now have 14 patients in our ICU, 14 COVID-related patients in our ICU, all due to Delta. We have about 300 patients occupying about a quarter of our 1,100 isolation beds, which we can ramp up to 2,500 at short notice. We have about 200 patients occupying 6% of our 3,200 COVID treatment facilities beds, which we can ramp up to 4,000 by the end of January and 5,000 by the end of February. All in all, we are in a good position now, but when cases start to rise further, we must expect ICU cases to rise and some deaths to happen. And healthcare capacity will also be filled up. But so far, our experience with Omicron is similar to other countries that encounter it before us. It is a less severe disease. Nevertheless, we need to be psychologically prepared for big infection numbers, 10,000, 15,000, maybe and probably more,